Wednesday's front page, Britain's conservatives returned to power. Labour's Gordon Brown resigned and conservative leader David Cameron took over. Congress called BP to account for what one lawmaker said was a cascade of failures behind the Gulf oil spill. And a government report that says a lot of people who think they have food allergies don't. From the newsroom of the New York Times, I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Britain's conservatives return to power. The new prime minister is David Cameron. He took office after Labour's Gordon Brown resigned. Last week's elections left the conservatives 20 seats short of a majority in parliament, but Cameron cobbled together the first coalition government since World War II. At age 43, he's also the youngest prime minister in 200 years. There was lots of finger-pointing and buck-passing at two hearings on the Gulf oil spill. There were also few answers. Angry lawmakers wanted to know why safety precautions weren't followed and who was to blame. They zeroed in on a chain of events at the deep-sea wellhead just before it ruptured. Separately, the Obama administration wants to split the agency that oversees offshore drilling in two. One part would be responsible for enforcing safety regulations. The other would collect royalties from drilling, as Times reporter John Broder explains.
Many other countries have already done this because there's an inherent conflict of interest between encouraging production and collecting money for it and overseeing safety and pollution control. I think one of the things that's unusual about the Minerals Management Agency is the sheer size of the revenue collected. It's an average of over $13 billion a year. I don't think there's any other agency of government outside the IRS that brings in that much money.
Times reporter John Broder in Washington. Business columnist David Leonhardt looks at how the U.S. mirrors Greece. Our federal debt is projected to equal about 140% of gross domestic product within 20 years. Greece's debt is about 115% of its GDP right now. Leonhardt says the U.S. probably won't face the same kind of crisis, but the basic problem is the same. Both countries have bigger governments than they're paying for. He says voters like Medicare, Social Security, good schools, and low taxes. He says dealing with that disconnect will be the central economic issue of the next decade. A new report says true food allergies are not that common. Times reporter Gina Collada says the report was commissioned by the federal government. It says the food allergy field is rife with misdiagnoses and tests that can give misleading results. It says only about 8% of children really have food allergies and 5% of adults, but 30% of the population believe they have them. The researcher behind the study says part of the confusion has to do with what's a food allergy and what's food intolerance. Last year, he quit the GOP. Now, Senator Arlen Specter is fighting to head off rejection at the hands of Democrats. He's in an unusually tough race heading into next week's primary in Pennsylvania. President Obama's nomination of Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court didn't help. Specter is struggling to explain why he opposed her nomination to be Solicitor General last year. On the Supreme Court, there's a liberal bloc, a conservative bloc, and now a New York bloc. If Ms. Kagan is confirmed, she'd join three other justices who grew up here. Never before have four justices from New York been on the court at the same time. Inside Wednesday's Times, the Obama administration set out to charm Afghan President Hamid Karzai. He's in Washington for the next few days. The administration rounded up cabinet members and other VIPs to welcome Karzai at a State Department reception. The party capped a day of meetings. Karzai said he remained a friend and ally of the U.S. Times reporter Mark Landler is covering Karzai's visit. He explains what the administration wants.
One, they want his backing and public support for their next major military campaign, which is in Kandahar in the south. And secondly, they want him to continue to attempt to stamp out, crack down on corruption, which is pervasive in Afghanistan. What Karzai would like is American backing and an American endorsement of his major project, which is reaching out to the Taliban leadership in an effort to forge a sort of a political reconciliation. For the U.S., this is a difficult issue. In principle, the U.S. supports it, but some of the guys that Karzai is likely to reach out to are at the least unsavory, and in some cases, people that the U.S. Would still hold culpable for the 9/11 terrorist attack.
Times reporter Mark Landler in Washington. Pope Benedict XVI issued a statement on the sex abuse crisis in the church. He called the scandal truly terrifying and said forgiveness is not a substitute for justice. He also said the problem was what he called the sin inside the church. That implied he didn't mean accusations from victims or reports in the media. Times reporter Rachel Donadio says Benedict's comments appear aimed at audiences inside and outside the church. In Iraq, politicians agreed on a step to stop disqualifying candidates. That removed one obstacle to the process of forming a new government. But the agreement papered over sectarian tensions set off by a campaign against the Ba'ath Party of Saddam Hussein. Wage cuts and furlough days for teachers have spread from cities that are short on cash to upscale suburbs. Teachers are facing a wage freeze in 44 of 69 Connecticut districts that reached new teacher contracts this year, and two communities in New York's Westchester County voted to reopen their contracts. Pelham and Scarsdale are shaving off part of the scheduled raises. Wednesday's arts section says the Morgan Library and Museum here in New York is planning a $4.5 million restoration project. This comes 4 years after a much larger expansion. Director William Griswold says this one will be a non-invasive restoration of something that was pretty much untouched the last time around. That's the building that once housed J.P. Morgan's personal office. The Morgan is also getting new display cases for rare books and manuscripts and other prized objects. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.